Hey everybody, Jake and Gino here, and today we're discussing multifamily terms demystified. Now, what the hell do I mean by that? Well, I was a normal, you know, W-2 salesman starting off in multifamily, and it's kind of like a little bit of a swamp in there with some of this terminology. Gino, there was some things going on early on. I'd have to talk to a broker. Oh yeah, you need this, that, and the other thing. Oh, we got that, man. Every day, all day, every day. 2 seconds later, 845, beep, 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 beep. Gino, what the hell is this? And he'd be like, 1 second, Kimisabi, I got you. So that's basically how ours went. I don't know, Gino, you remember those days, kind of figure out the terminology?
Timeout. You were never normal. You're never going to be normal. So you're a W-2. You were the drug rep. I was the pizza guy in the beginning. And if it wasn't for coaching and mentorship, I never would have gotten it. And listen, email me, GinoJakeandGino.com. I'll send you a PDF copy. There is a beautiful, glossy.
Hold on for the folks that are not on YouTube. PDF copy of what?
Passive investing made simple. I mean, that's a glossary, about a 4 or 5 page glossary. Loss to lease, operating agreement, operating expenses, net operating income, market rent, physical occupancy, preferred returns. The glossary is beautiful here, but Jake and I are going to touch on three that we think are really crucial in the beginning, and we didn't know what they were. But when you're starting out, for me, that mentorship and that coaching really helped me out. And we had the honor and the privilege podcasting Sharon Lecter. For those of you who don't know who Sharon Lecter is, she basically wrote the Purple Bible, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. She was the co-author, but she was the author. She's written 15 books. And what I love what Sharon says is, I was teaching one of my children to invest in our deals. And after my son invested in the deals, all of a sudden he's talking about owner draws, and he's talking about CapEx, and he's talking about economic occupancy and market rents and loss to lease. And she's like, your son knows the financial language. He knows the financial lingo. That's the most important thing that we can teach our children and that we can learn ourselves. Because once we learn how to speak the language, if you're speaking in English and I'm speaking in Italian, we don't understand. But if we're both speaking the same language and we understand the language, whether finance has got its own language, its own lingo, the glossary of terms in here will help you start dissecting that lingo and that glossary. It's important that you learn that language. So Sharon, big shout out. Go to the Jake and Gino channel. Check out that podcast. It's amazing. It was an amazing show. I had such a good time talking about mentors. That was one of my mentors. I've bought all 15 of her books. We're on her show. I had the whole stack there. That's what
I
about.
Thought you're going to hurt your back when you're holding those things up.
She's taking pictures of it, dude. She's like, I've never seen that before. People have said it. And I am totally 100% bought in on mentorship, coaching, and education, because I would not be here right now without the man in blue there, the normal man in blue there, and without all this coaching and mentorship, because it takes a lot of work. You need to be constantly growing and constantly educating yourself. But that's what I love to share with you guys. Go to Sharon Lecter's podcast on the Jake and Gino channel. You'll truly enjoy it.
Well, dude, on our third deal, it was over 100 units. Our first deal was 25 units. There wasn't anything really that threw me off. Second deal, 36 units. We go to get a 100 unit deal and they start asking for a lot more stuff and these acronyms that I never heard of. So that's why I was calling 1-800 the G-Daddy. You know, I was like, 1-800 the G-Daddy. Hey, what is this? Don't worry, young Padawan. I got you, dog. And that's all he said to me. And then it worked out. So here's a couple. I'll give you three that... It definitely threw us off a little bit in the beginning because it was just stuff we haven't heard of. We didn't have it. It wasn't everyday lingo to us. So number one, the Oreo, or truthfully, the SREO. Okay. And it ain't a cookie. Okay. Schedule of real estate owned. Very simple. But as you grow and you start to add units to your portfolio, agency, community banks, they're going to ask for this. Schedule of real estate owned basically lists the different real estate investments that you have, the date that you bought them, the institution that you purchased it with, the net operating income, all the pertinent information. And it's beautiful because I look at my SREO all the time now. I update it as we add units, as net operating income changes, as the debt changes on it. It has recourse debt, non-recourse debt. It's a fun document because I can sit back and it's a way to manage my portfolio. It's really portfolio management. So as soon as you get your first duplex, your first 25 unit, start that schedule of real estate owned, because by the time you get to that third deal and you're doing 100 units, you're going to say, hey, I don't got to worry and recreate the wheel. I already got this stuff. I don't need to scramble. I don't need to run around trying to find this with a chicken with my head cut off because I didn't have this. Get that schedule of real estate owned done. It will help you a lot. And it's so much fun watching that sucker grow.
Jake, I was on a call with a couple of students last night. They just joined the community and I was going through their portfolio. the SREO is a snapshot. And most investors, when they're starting out, it really lacking. These students had 16 units and they are in contract to buy another 16 units. They had a couple of duplexes, triplexes, a quad. It gives you clarity. And the first thing is, I'm like, do you know what your equity is in each of these positions? And they weren't really sure. Do you know what the NOI is on each of them? They weren't really sure. Do you know what the terms of debt when debt expires? They weren't really sure. With that one call, I gave them complete clarity of what their portfolio looks like today, and they can make decisions based on numbers.
And ease of use going forward. Yeah. And when they're asked for it, the bank's going to see it. Everyone's going to know what's going on.
Perfect. Ugh. I wanted to transition into that. Now, when they're talking to community bankers and where they're talking to Fannie and Freddie, they have it. They're so prepared. Tax returns, bam, bio, bam, schedule real estate.
Credibility, oh, dog.
Exactly. Yeah. They are prepared. And now they're serious. It's not just a little hobby. It's not just a couple of little assets. All of a sudden, you start becoming a multifamily entrepreneur. You start becoming the asset manager. That's what we teach Jake and Gina, to become an entrepreneur in multifamily and to start managing these assets, not just acquiring them and not knowing what it is. It's about the KPI, key performance indicators. If you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. Really important.
Professional up, big doggy. All right, the next one. Okay, PFS, personal financial statement. Now we're talking about specifically on the first one, a basically snapshot of everything that you have going on in your real estate world and your real estate holdings. Now the personal financial statement is going to be the larger view of you, of your assets, your liabilities, and ultimately your net worth. Again, another really fun, you know, tool to measure performance and how you're doing and how you're growing. So you may have some gold in there. You may have some automobiles. You may have some single family houses. You may have some land, you know, the boats, whatever the case may be. You're going to add all that up, furniture, you know, cash, all that's going to be up, you know, and you're going to be able to say, okay, assets, liabilities, and then you're going to be able to calculate your net worth. So another great way to keep score with your PFS. And I'm going to tell you right now, you get into a deal, they're going to be asking for this. So why not get prepared, have some fun with it, get it dialed in, okay? Because you want a very accurate score, an accurate measurement, and get it done. That's it. It's simple.
When I first started my personal financial statement, let's just say it wasn't great.
Was it a back of the napkin?
It just, I'm talking about the numbers, bro. My assets and my liabilities weren't great. But the reality is what you focus on grows. That's the reality.
Amen to that.
And I was doing it yearly before I got into real estate, if yearly. And then all of a sudden I started buying a couple of properties. Then I started doing it every 6 months, then quarterly. I'm updating it monthly because we're doing deals every month. We've got money coming in from our businesses every month. I've got crypto. I've got different
You got
assets.
Crypto?
Dude, buying crypto.
What are you, Neo in the Matrix now? What are you, you abandoning me? Let me tell you,
that is, no. I'm just a little bit on the side. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, that's the way it starts, folks, all right?
You know?
Gino's got a financial Gumar here. He's cheating on me.
Well, let's get back to the personal financial statement. No cheating here. You need to have it. Do you know why? Because you want a snapshot. It's another KPI. If you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. How are you doing with your life? If you have more liabilities than assets, what needs to happen? I have on my PFS, I basically have ins and outs too, inflows and outflows. I have my income coming in and I have my expenses going out. I want to know what my monthly cash flow is every month. I want to see what that number is. And I'm always driving income, whether it's from our education side, whether it's from our property side, we get a refi that's going in there. It's really good to have that. And then what I also do is on our property draws, every month we have property draws. I list out every month, all of our draws. Then I miss out all other ancillary income. And I get that income number and I track that monthly and I see where that's going monthly. Some months it's a lot better than others because we will either sell a property, we'll either refi a property, whatever it is, but measure it and track it and start doing it. Because once you start doing that, you start focusing on something, it starts to grow. It's like a savings account. Once you start putting money into your savings account, you start looking at it every month, it gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. That focus and that attention is going to allow it to continue to grow.
All right, last one. RUBS, the big dog, the one that will get you moving and get those auxiliary expenses.
Jake's
right?
talking about me cheating on him. Now he's talking about me wanting to rub him. That rub thing going on.
Okay, RUBS, Ratio Utility Billing Systems. This is a great way to really begin to turn your property around when you're buying from mom and pop operators. RUBS or Ratio Utility Billing Systems is a way to bill back for things such as water, sewer, okay, other expenses that are not captured with direct billing. So if you have a 50 unit complex and there's one meter running in for water, you're going to get one bill every month. Traditional mom and pop owner operators basically eat that expense. Okay. This can be a tremendous revenue generator for you, the operator, to go in and implement a ratio utility billing system. Maybe you have a software right now, property management software. Ours actually allows for that, so that we just utilize the software that we have. If you do not, there's other companies out there that you can use. I think there was one that we tested back in the day, NWP. I think they got bought out by RealPage, but that's all they do. They just do rubs bill back. So there's a bunch of different ways to do it, but Gino's, we did rubs, I think it was $35 per unit on our 136 unit, and you used to do the math. No, I'm calling you out to do the math here. You're saying even in an 8 cap, I mean, it was like a tremendous
swell. So I'll do this real quick for everybody.
Yeah.
I'll just round up numbers. 100 unit property at $30 per unit. That is what, $3,000 per month.
Yeah.
12 months is $36,000 a year. At a 10 cap, that $36,000 increase in
NOI.
Who's buying
10 caps these days? Maybe a 5 cap.
At a 10 cap, it's $360,000. $36,000 so divided by
0.1. It's more like 700 G's because it's a 5 cap.
$720,000 would be a 5 cap. So you're, by implementing a $30 charge on something that most residents will pay anyway, make sure that it happens in your market.
Sometimes it's legal in your state. There's certain states that I think there's different rules.
And sometimes just raise the rent by $30 because sometimes, so the reason why this occurs now is years ago, back in the 60s, 70s and 80s, a lot of these builds, they didn't separately meter for water. Water was a very inexpensive, it was just really cheap water at the time. Now the newer builds are separately metering. If you find a property that's separately metered, home run, less expenses for you. But what ratio utility billing allows you to see is all of a sudden residents see that they're paying for part of the water. Water usage will drop, which is good for us as operators. It's great for the environment and you're saving. But that $30 charge on 100 units will net you a $720,000 gain in value on your property at a 5 cap. Let that sink in. We even at one of our properties implemented a $3 pest control bill back. We even bill back pest control. So just go to your market, see what's going on in the market, see what they allow. Quick tip, everybody, go to apartments.com, look at the comps, see what the comps are doing. Are they billing back for water? Are they billing back for pests? Are they billing back for sewer and garbage? And take a look what they're doing. And if you're allowed to do that, home run. And a lot of these mom and pops, they don't do it. It's still amazing that a lot of them out there are not implementing rubs.
Gino.
Yes, sir.
It's bonus round. I'm going to give a 3.1. I'm going to give a 3.1.
Hit me, bro.
Draw reports. Make sure the first property you own, you implement a draw report every month. Okay. We basically send it out to everyone that's investor. Income, expense, and this is cash. Okay. This is where the rubber hits the road. Pull your bank statement, get your income less the cash. You have a baseline. Okay. And then anything above that baseline, we draw to the members. Okay. So I know that was quick, but say you have a 100 unit property and the mortgage is roughly 35 grand. You have a separate CapEx account. Maybe you keep a minimum of 35,000 per month in that account. You get the bank statement. There was 45,000 left. You draw 15 and you reset the wheel. That's how we do it. And I just think it's crucial. Everybody out there, you have to have accurate draw reports every month, done on the first of the month without fail. Pay yourself first, make that money.
3.2. I'm going to hit you up, Rosef. This is something that Mr. Stenziano was vehemently, he just wanted this so bad. And we finally were able to pull it through.
Tell me. The
property log.
All right.
So if anyone's serious about the manage right, one of our unique selling propositions, USPs at Jake and Gino, is we have the wheel of the wheelbarrow. We're amazing at managing. Our coaches are our property managers. The couple that I spoke to last night, I sent them all of our manage right documents. They were in amazement. It's like, you've got it, manage it in a box. I said, oh, by the way, let me connect you with Shannon. She'll get on a couple of calls with you. Those sieves, those holes that you have in your manage right, we're going to plug those up. We're going to save you thousands of bucks a month. This property log, I wish Jake and I had done this for our very first property. Now that we got 20 properties, it's like, what does a property log entail? Well, who's the utility provider? When is the last time you power washed the buildings? When is the last time you did gutter cleanouts? When was the last time you sealed a parking lot?
Roofs,
when was the last time you did roofs? It's a snapshot of every single property. So when you're ready to refi that property or sell it, bam, it's off to the races. You can just send it out. And when you're scaling up your portfolio, you don't remember your third property, you know, who the, like I said, who the gas company is there, who's the cell phone provider, whatever it is. It's an amazing snapshot of every property.
And it helps with the maintenance.
Yes, exactly. It's another way to manage it and to say to them, hey, March, we need to go do this. So if you guys are serious about managing your properties, reach out to me. I'll even send you that property log because I know once you see that, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Then we have weekly pulses going out or a cadence of accountability. The manage right is where you make money in this business. I know you need to buy right and to finance right. But once that manage right is in place, and it doesn't have to be you managing the property, we can teach you how to third-party property manage so you can start and continue to build and scale your buying opportunities. But if you don't get that manage right and you've got holes in your manage right, you're going to be leaking thousands of dollars every month.
Gino, you're such a beautiful spark of inspiration. I have to say one more thing.
Beautiful
the most,
spark.
One, like that. One of the most powerful tools in negotiation is a good comp, okay? A good comparable. What is the prop? When you have a portfolio, you know what the property log does for you? Hey, Lexington is getting their gutters cleaned out for blank per linear foot. Knoxville is getting them cleaned out for blank. Guess what? You're going to have more data to understand what pricing should be, and you're going to be able to negotiate better because, hey, we're doing 1,000 units over here for this price. Why are you charging me $1.25 a square foot to clean when these people are charging me a dollar? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what starts to happen when you have the data. So you're actually building up and amassing your own data to utilize. It's data play, bro. So, hey, show the book again. Gino's giving it away for free. Gino at jakeandgino.com. Huge set of definitions in there. Ton of information on investing. Gino's giving away the farm. He's a sweetheart. We love the G Daddy rocking out today. Thank you, sir. Great call.
I am the farmer. I will give away the farm, my friend. Take care, everyone.